Welcome to Entrepreneurhood, where we break entrepreneurship down into three simple pillars: business, lifestyle, and motivation. Our goal is to use our personal experiences as industry leaders to guide and inspire young entrepreneurs to see the lesson in every challenge. Because we understand that companies don't succeed, people do. Now, welcome the leaders of Entrepreneurhood, Lakim and KB.
All right, so welcome to episode one of Entrepreneurhood. This is the first episode where we're going to give you guys a background of who and what Entrepreneurhood is. And before we jump into it, we figured we would give you guys a background on who the hosts are. So my name is Lakim James. I'm from Queens, New York, Jamaica, Queens, Southside. What's good? And, you know, I want to introduce someone. So my co-host and my brother, his name is KB, but everybody knows him as KB the Trainer. And I want to give you guys a background on who KB is. So KB, in case you guys didn't know, he's a real estate agent. He's an app creator. He has his own app. He's a fitness entrepreneur. He's an actor. He's a speaker. He is the founder of a nonprofit called Feed in the City. He's a model that at the peak of his career in his modeling, he was able to see his face on every single bus in New York City for over 4 months. Like, we really want to get a background on, like, who is KB the Trainer and, like, you know, what's your story, man?
Well, my story is just coming from nothing and trying to adapt to, you know, life. So I feel like a lot of things did happen to me, but they happened for me. So that's just the outlook of how I look at everything. But everything just happened one by one.
Okay. And a lot of people, you know, who don't know who you are, like, where you from?
I'm from Queens. I was born in Jersey. I lived in Niagara Falls. After Niagara Falls, I moved to Brooklyn. And then that's when I went to Southside. And that's when, you know, we met up. I remember me and you, we had no shoes on.
We ain't gonna talk about that on the podcast.
And then from down south, I mean, from Queens, I moved to North Carolina. I went to Charlotte. And then I was fighting for my life to come back to New York. And then I finally made it back.
Yeah.
And we reconnected. And then we finished off at Flushing High School. And my senior year, and I'm like, I'm not leaving Queens ever again no more.
Yeah, I remember that, man. I remember because when you were coming back from North Carolina, you know, you were like, yo, coming back to Queens, like, what high school should I go to? And I was like, yo, man, yo, me and you, we got to go to Flushing and take Flushing over.
Facts. We was like Shaq and Kobe, D-Wade and LeBron when it came to it.
Man, yo, yeah, that, I remember that like it was yesterday, bro. And that was back in, like, what,
2009.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, we're showing our age now.
For real, you know? So, all right, so let's get right into it. So what do you do right now? So, like, I kind of gave the people a little bit of background on, like, who you are, but, like, what do you do and, you know, how you got started and all that?
Well, I first started with training. So I pretty much do everything that you said right now, but I'm not actively with modeling. And acting, I have two series that's coming out in 2020. So we still waiting on that, Sister's Keeper and The Love I Love.
Dang.
But I started with training, and training just came about. Like, it's nothing I planned to do. Like, we just played basketball in high school, and I just fell in love with fitness in my junior year. But I still didn't determine to be a trainer. I just wanted abs. So girls like abs. So that's all I wanted, pretty much. And then I would say I had my first job. Well, I say my first real-world job, and I was a counselor. And I was, you know, teaching kindergarten, so it was pretty cool. Like, it was better than my last job working at Sears.
Yeah, so, I remember that. Yep.
So, but the thing about the counselor job is that a month later, they let me go because of budget cuts. And my boss came to me. I thought it was a problem with one of the kids. She said, no, we just got to let you go because you're the newest hire. So that was, like, my first hit of real world. I'm like, why would you hire me? You know, school, you got to do a lot of fingerprinting, a lot of paperwork. Why hire me just to let me go a month later? So from that point on, I said, I will never be at anybody's disposal anymore. And from that was the last time I worked for anybody.
And how old were you at that point?
I was 19. Yeah, I was 19. And I was stressed out. So it wasn't like, I was still looking for work. Even my head, my ego is like, I'm not working for nobody more, but I was still looking for work, but it just wasn't clicking. So I used to run, I used to go to the gym, stressed out. And at the point where I didn't really have money to go to the gym anymore, so I had to ask, you know, my friends for some money, some gas money. So I worked out a deal with one of my friends from high school. Shout out to Michelle. So she used to see stuff I used to post on my regular Instagram and say, yo, can you take me to the gym? I'm like, well, you got gas money. We could go. I don't got a car, but I can steal my sister's car when she sleep. So we we made it work. We used to go to the gym from like 12, 2 in the morning all the time, Planet Fitness, and we just work out and just talk about life, about what we want to do. And it's just dope because not only I pursue what I wanted to do, she also pursued what she wants to do. So, which is fashion and stuff like that. She's in LA right now with all the stars and everything, selling them Gucci bags. So she's Gucci and Louis. She's doing her thing.
Yeah.
But yep. It was just that we were just two young kids just inspired about doing something different and not just be held to our environment. And then I ended up helping her. And then her cousin was like, I'll pay you to train me. I'm like, train you? She's like, yeah, you help my cousin. Can you help me? And then from there, a light bulb switched. Like, I love fitness and I love helping people. And I just put it together and just kept running with it.
So I think I like that story a lot. And one of the things that I kind of want you to touch on is I remember as you were getting in the game, your prices have changed a lot over the years.
Growth
has changed a lot, man.
Growth and inflation.
some of your current clients might not like this part of the story, but kind of tell us, like, is it true from, you know, what I remember, you used to, you know, pick people up, train them, drop them back home, an hour workout for $6. Is that true?
Yo, allegedly. Nah, man, I was official. I was an Uber trainer. I used to pick people up because I knew I was getting the short end of the stick, but I was like, if I were training, I have to prove my value through helping people. So I used to pick you up, charge you $6, drop you off, no matter what part of Queens. And it was lit. You know, they should have took advantage. People that started then, they wish they could, you know, stay with me.
So, quick question. Is there any way that people can still get that $6 deal?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Yeah, I try for y'all, man. I try. You know, you got into the game. You started at $6. You know, your prices are a lot higher now. Now, when did you realize that, like, you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Was it, like, when you got laid off? What was the turning point for you?
Well, it kind of goes back to childhood days. So for those who don't know, me and Lay, we can sell anything that's sellable. Anything, item that people want, we can sell it.
And legally.
Illegally, yeah, I forgot. But I always had the entrepreneur spirit where I find what a person wants and I try to meet, you know, their demands. And I just look at whatever situation is. I remember for personal experience, in class, we used to have parties and stuff, you know, class parties, and people used to have chips and all that. So I used to take the free chips that I didn't pay for, and then I'll sell it the next day when everybody's hungry. So,
entrepreneurhood, yeah.
And I'll up the price because we in school, so you can't go outside to the store. So instead of that 25-cent bag, now you got to pay 75.
Supply and demand, that's what I'm talking about.
So you doing that at 8, 9 years old, you know, business is always in you. And then we just elevated up, you know, selling bikes, you know, cleaning yards. And eBay was a big moment where I learned about e-commerce. And that's basically just making money off your phone and not really working for it and selling things.
Yeah, that eBay game, man, that's how I like how me and you really, really got into the game. Shout out to my little sister, Colette, because she put me on and, you know, taught me the ropes. And I was like, yo, KB, I think we found a gem in eBay. And yeah. eBay changed the game. Well, like, what would you say is some of the biggest things we learned about eBay? Because we were like, what, 14, 15?
Yeah, I would say branding. Branding was a big thing. And also doing numbers. So, like, algebra was my favorite class. I used to do algebra all the time when it came to making deals. And now I didn't know what it was, but a lot of stuff I used to broker. So, basically, I didn't have to have an item in order to sell it. So, I'll take somebody Jordans, And they'd be like, well, if it's good enough price on the market, now I buy it from them from low and sell it for high. Or if it's too expensive for me, I'll be like, yo, I'll sell it for you and you give me 30% after the fees. And we do business. So a lot of people didn't know what percentages back then. So that was that was our advantage. They thought they was really winning, but it's like, yo, it's business, bro. I'm being straight up with you.
I remember that because back in high school, people just wanted to see the cash. So if you gave them, you know, $15, they don't know that like we buy for them for 15, we end up selling it for like 100, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, they should have paid attention to algebra like I did. they wouldn't know what would have been going on. But yeah, it's always entrepreneur vibes since I was young, and now it's legitimized, and now I have the opportunity to really create my own destiny. So it's pretty dope.
All right. And next question, because I think that's, you know, that's super cool. So what would you say, like, who or what had like the biggest impact on why you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Was it like the struggle? Was it the layoff? What would you say was the biggest reason?
I say it definitely was a combination of both. Like the layoff was something that I was like, I don't think I'm destined for this. Even though it was a small job and I'm only making probably like $12-$13 an hour. But just the whole meaning behind it, I took it differently than anybody else. My family, we don't come from rich parents. So everything we had to do, we had to grind for and work for.
Yeah.
So I believe like by me having limited resources, it gave me the drive to go after everything. And not only that, but go after ownership, because ownership is a big thing that's missing in our community. So that's why I'm like, yo, I'm gonna name something Team KB. I'm gonna name my company Everybody Fit B LLC, because that's my culture and that's why I want to stand behind. And I'm big on having my name so my name can last for generations to come.
I dig that. And what's that quote we always say about resources?
Oh, yeah. You never lack resources. You only lack resourcefulness.
Man, that's a fact. That's a fact. Because, you know, growing up in Southside, you know, like we didn't have a lot of stuff. But I think we made the most out of what we did have. And there's two ways that, you know, I feel like a person could go about it is either they could say that their environment is the reason why they aren't who they are, or their environment is every reason of why they became who they are, you know?
It's all about perspective. And if you see it half full or half empty, that's up to you.
That's true, true. So, all right, let's jump into the why. Starting a podcast can be super stressful, and that's why most people don't start. That's where Buzzsprout comes in. They're the easiest and hands down the best way to launch a professional podcast. Remember, KB and I both run separate companies, so we needed something that would get our show on all the major podcasts and platforms. We needed detailed analytics to see how our people were listening, and we wanted a platform that was super user-friendly. Buzzsprout did all those things for us. Now, if you want to start your own podcast, check the link in our show notes, and we'll give you a $20 Amazon gift card, plus you'll be supporting the show. Remember, Buzzsprout is the easiest way to podcast. You know, so being an entrepreneur, that's what a lot of people, they aim for, or a lot of people, they test the waters. They, you know, trying to figure out, is entrepreneurship something that they want or they can do? So now as we're jumping into the why, what would you say, like, why did you choose fitness? I think you said a little bit earlier, but why fitness?
The passion really grown for me once I realized I really didn't have much like resources, but by me doing this thing, which is working out, it made me feel so much better. So scientifically, it releases endorphins when you work out.
Yep.
And once I noticed that, I'm like, yo, this is different. Like if I can work on my problems, then I really wouldn't have none. It was so much mental toughness there. And then also to help somebody change their body and build their confidence and self-esteem, and me get paid for something that I love. It was like, yo, this is a no-brainer. This is something I should be a part of.
Yeah, and I feel like fitness is a way that a lot of people, you know, some people they run, some people they play the piano, some people they got their outlet of how they deal with stress. And, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. So becoming an entrepreneur, right? Like, how did that go down? So, like, did you tell your mom, like, yo, mom, I'm going to be an entrepreneur? Or, like, she was like, yo, KB, you can't get a job. And you like, I'm not, like, how did that happen?
I don't even think I knew how to spell entrepreneur at the time, to be honest. My mom, all right, to give you a little more backstory, I went to St. John's for a semester and I studied marketing. And pretty much after that, I was like, I'm pretty much done with school. This is not for me. So in high school, I was the ideal kid, 90 average, basketball team, honor society, senior committee, president, vice president. So I was, you know, I was good at school, but I didn't really like it. I just like, yo, I got a good memory and I know how to pay attention. So I was a 90 average student. So when it came to St. John's, I didn't like that. It was like, yo, this costs more money and I'm not learning what I need to learn and I can't make that money right back on the same day I go to school.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I said, you know what? If I'm going to do marketing, something that's not so tangible, then I can market myself. So my mom, she wasn't for it, to keep it short. She wasn't for it. She was hoping that I get a job, you know, Social Security, nothing wrong with that. Or, you know, sanitation. She sent me MTA stuff. And I'm like, yo, I understand that. Those are not beneath me, but I know what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And I know I'm good at servicing people and going above and beyond. And I get bored easily. So I got to have a new challenge in front of me. And she wasn't really much for it, but I still had to prove myself. So that's the thing. When you go to entrepreneurship, it's going to be, you know, looked down upon because there's no money there. It's like people always ask, well, how much you make it or how much you can make? You don't know. You have to create that for yourself. So you could Google as much or how much personal trainers make in New York or Virginia or whatever. It could give you a ratio, but that doesn't mean you're going to make that guarantee. And it doesn't mean you have to peek at that either. And that's what I love about entrepreneurship. The effort depends on you. And that's basically it.
Yeah, that's key. You know, you said a lot of important things. So let's backtrack. So you said that, you know, you didn't get a chance to finish college. And a lot of people, they have a huge challenge with that. Like a lot of people like, yo, should I like go to school? Should I finish? You know, our stories are similar, but it's different. Like I graduated with my bachelor's and, you know, and you didn't, but we're both still successful entrepreneurs. So could you talk about that?
Yeah. And I think that's the dope part about life, because it's like, there's no one right way or route. It's just you staying persistent in what you're doing. But yeah, when I definitely decided to drop out, I like to say I finished because I was done. But after I dropped out, you know, a couple people, you know, they looked down upon me because they was looking up to me, but they seemed like, yo, he's going somewhere that we don't know where he might end up. And I think by me having that extra chip on my shoulder, it motivated the shit out of me to keep going.
Yeah.
And it also made me realize I want to do this for people who can't afford to go to college, far as like the big schools, the big names, and where they get the big network. So I wanted to do something for people that didn't have, or they couldn't just go because they had to take care of their family. They just had to work. So it's like, to say you can't be successful without a degree is crazy. It is not, that's not, you know, 2020. That's not the world now. Or 2010 at the time, that's not the world.
Yeah.
And the world is changing now.
That's so true. And that's why I really wanted you to talk about it, because I know a lot of people, they struggle with that. It was like, yo, should I finish? Should I not? And I guess the biggest thing is, do whatever you feel is right for you. You know, don't do it because KB did it. Don't do it because I did it. Do it because it's your story. And I think the key in being an entrepreneur is developing and creating your story.
No, it's definitely 100% true.
So, all right, next thing. In order to be an entrepreneur, a lot of people, I think they forget that they got to make some sacrifices along the way. So my next question for you, KB, who or what did you have to get rid of in order for you to start seeing a little bit of success as an entrepreneur?
I think getting rid of these imaginary society status quo needs, because we think we need everything.
Yep.
And
I'm guilty.
It's not true. So far as saying, you have to have, you know, a certain amount of sneakers. Because at this time, I was 19 years old. So, you know, best dress was my thing. I went to high school, so that was a culture. So
yeah.
Like, yo, I got to have this. I got to have that. And you realize, you really don't need all that. You know, you really minimize because you're so focused on this tunnel vision, the goal you're trying to reach. And I also realizing not caring about what other people think about you. That's very important, because people are so scared of not even just feeling, but what people might say about them feeling.
Yeah.
And I think you should, you can't care about those certain things. And once you care about those things, you lose sight of focus or your vision, because the whole saying, like, laugh now, cry later type of attitude. So I always never wanted to get back at people or revenge people who talk bad about me, because it's, I just look at, they didn't understand. So I always, you know, spread love to people, but also let them know, like, don't do this to the next person. Don't look down on them because they go a different way.
Yeah. And I think the fear of judgment, man, it holds people back. There's more failure in, you know, in not starting than actually executing. And yeah, like most people, they're just scared to start.
Wait, now you got to say that one more time, because that was simple, but that was solid gym right there.
Yeah. So I said there's more failure in not starting than the people who actually execute, because a lot of people, man, the biggest reason why they fail is they just never start.
That's crazy. That is true.
Yeah. You know, so like speaking of starting and stopping, so being an entrepreneur, man, you know, a lot of people, they think it's trendy right now. It is. And most people think entrepreneurship is sexy. So walk me through this, man. Like in your whole journey, how long you been an entrepreneur right now?
7 years, I would say. Yeah.
All right. Years. So in your 7 years, bro, have you ever thought about giving up? It's like a rhetorical question.
777 times probably.
A day, right? Like,
it's so unpredictable.
And you know, to think about that. So why did you think about giving up? Because family, was it outside noise? Was it like you didn't hit your goals? Why?
Yeah, I think it definitely was a mixture. Cause like my sister, like she's definitely a school person. Like she's going to get her doctorates this year.
Shout out to Reva.
Yeah, she's doing her thing with school, and I'm glad, you know, I feel like she's been in school all my life. So, but she didn't really understand, like, we kind of were opposite, especially when it comes to certain things. So she used to say things that, you know, really sharp, like cut the skin deep. But I thank her for that, because that made me who I am. So my brother, he's like in the middle. He is the middle child, because he actually finished with his degree, but he don't look at it like that, like it's the only way. So I think, you know, that upbringing, it made me who I am. It gave me the extra chip on my shoulder. Also, the idea of me wanting a family and wanting to live a different kind of lifestyle. So I'm like, there's no limit on what I can make, because it depends on me. That's what made me, you know, go extra hard with entrepreneurship. Like, yo, I got to do this. I got to speak to this person. I got to follow up. I got to do these certain things. And when you get in that type of state and you don't worry about your current circumstances, it takes your mind to a different place. So me personally, spiritually, is only reason I was able to stay grounded, because a lot of nights I was just like, yo, this is it. I'm quitting. I don't care. I'm quitting. I don't know what job I'm going to get, because I can't work for nobody, but I got to do something. I want to make some money. I want to help people or whatever. And then little by little, you know, you give that confidence, and then you might have the confidence in that, you know, on Monday, then on Tuesday afternoon, you lose a client. You like, yo, I'm back.
Done. I'm done. Yeah. I'm back to square one.
So like, it's an ugly, lonely road. It's not yachts and champagne and girls, you know, in bikinis, and you just living a life with a fancy robe. It's not that, especially when you start.
Yeah.
It's peanut butter and jelly. It's, you know, yo, I can't go because I'm tired, but you really don't have no money. It's
oh, that's one of that used to be my favorite excuse, bro.
It's, yo, baby, let's just stay in and let's really Netflix and chill, because movie tickets is $40.
Yeah, yep. Like, so, baby, like, let's stay home and, like, let's get to know each other better. Like,
it makes you more creative being an entrepreneur. That's why I know how to cook now.
Yep, you see? And what I love about it, too, is what most people don't realize is, as an entrepreneur, you eat what you kill.
Facts.
And if any of the listeners out there don't know what that means, you eat what you kill. That means I'm in sales. If I don't make any sales, I don't eat.
Simple and plain.
Like, KB is in fitness. If he has no one to train, he doesn't eat, you know? And like, it's tough. So following up on that, what would you say is like the most common reason why most people fail or they give up in fitness? Because I'm sure there's somebody listening that's either a personal trainer, a fitness entrepreneur, and they're going through it right now, or they want to get into the game, but help them out, okay? Like, what do you feel like is the biggest reason why most people fail?
I would say the biggest struggle is that you have to rely on people. It's a people business. So if you have people, you give in your energy, you give me your time, you give me effort, and they just don't commit, it hurts to a point where it's like, yo, I can't do this. And it hurts so much because you count on a person so much, far as not even just income, but you need to help them so you can get more income for the next person.
Yep.
So it's like a domino effect. So if you don't help anybody, nobody else is going to talk about you. Your brand is not going to be spread. It's not going to help your business. So if you're training with somebody, you know, for a year or 6 months and they still look the same, it's a reflection of you. Even though if you might give them a plan, it's still a reflection of you. So it's a real push-pull factor relationship where you have to take responsibility, but they have to take responsibility well in order to succeed because it's a teamwork thing.
That's true. That's true. Like, I think being in any form of entrepreneurship, when you serving clients, you have to make sure that, you know, you schedule everything correctly, because if your clients don't show, you always got to make sure you got something moving. So that makes sense. And yeah. The last thing before we kind of jump in the, you know, the third part, like some of the wins, is what's one thing you think that people misunderstand about you?
I think people think I'm super arrogant. I don't know why. I'm a real nice, humble guy. I just have, you know, great confidence that I'm going to accomplish what I said I'm going to accomplish. Yeah, I don't know why, man. It's always been like that for some reason.
Bro, like, in, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, because back when we was in high school, man, like, there used to be some people that always used to try to talk to you. And, you know, when you had your mom made up, bro, you had blinders on. Like, you ain't seen nothing other than what you wanted to see. So
the mama mentality.
Ooh, shout out to Kobe. Shout out to Kobe. All right, so let's transition into some of the wins, man. You know, like, we talked about some of the struggles, and now I want to kind of let people see the upside to entrepreneurship, because that's what entrepreneurhood is all about. So when did you start seeing your first sign of success, and what would you say, how long did it take?
If we're talking financially, to be honest, so with the world, I would say my 6 year of training, that's when I really started seeing the turnaround. And of me being comfortable with my bills and also knocking down my debt and being, you know, stable. But as far as success, I would say just be able to help somebody and see, you know, my brand spread on an intangible goal.
Yep.
It's seen that spread, because I knew the money was going to come afterwards. So a lot of times we get caught up in having money. Like, my first sale in real estate, you know, my first house I sold was in Hollis. And just actually being able to sell a house, meaning that my family never even owned a house, that was a success for me. Like, the money, the commission money was, you know, it was great. I needed it. But just to be able to say, yo, I sold a house, it's like, wow. Like, I didn't even know how I was doing half of the deal. But Seeing that I sold it, and my name is like in the records, like, yo, I'm the buyer's agent. I helped this person buy a house. It's like, it was pretty dope. So I say success is measured differently. I would definitely say, as far as financially, my 6 year of training. So I always tell people, don't be afraid of going that road, because if you're entrepreneurship, it's going to take a little minute for the things to get rolling.
See, and again, that's deep. I hope everyone listen kind of took that away, because 6 years, man, like, you know, that means you really had to put your head down and, like, keep pushing even through the ups and the downs with it, you know? So definitely respect that, because most people, we say it all the time, bro, like, they want to see it in a month, in a year. And sometimes real success doesn't happen as quickly as you want. All right. So KB, so what would you say is, like, been your favorite success story? So we talked about all the struggles, man. Let's talk about some of the wins.
Yeah, I would definitely say me modeling, being on a billboard for New York City buses for 4 months.
How did that feel, man? Like, that's crazy.
Yo, it was a crazy feeling, because I was working for VIM. It's a clothing store in New York City, and they have a couple of them across the nation. And they've been around for years, about 20, 30 years. And I, you know, I grew up shopping there. So they actually sent me a DM on Instagram right around in the summertime. And I thought it was like spam or something. And it's like, yo, we looking for models in New York City. You know, you're one of the candidates. And I'm like, okay, cool. So they sent the email. And I'm like, maybe this is a little serious. Maybe this is real. Yeah. And he was asking me, what's my budget? And I'm like, I really don't have a budget, but let me scale my training and let me use my training per hour. And I'm going to use this as my budget. So I worked out, I sent him my numbers. And then we met somewhere in the middle. I'm like, all right, cool. We can negotiate that. Damn. And ideally, I'm like, yo, I'm getting paid to take pictures. Like, I do this already. So it was just a win-win. And then I was working there for a couple amount of months. And then you signed paperwork. But they still didn't. I still wasn't aware that I was going to be on the buses. It was just an opportunity that, you know, if anybody can get. And then when I actually saw it, it was really crazy because from where I'm from, only person to get on buses is people that play for St. John's that you actually know.
Yep.
So to be on the bus, I was on one bus and I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. That's me. And next thing you know, I'm on other buses. And I'm on this bus. And the people who hit me up, like, yo, I saw you on the bus. I'm like, what? And everybody taking a picture. So I started a thing called Spot KB Challenge. And it just went crazy viral with people within Queens and Brooklyn and the Bronx. And everybody in the city, basically, just posting me and tagging me. So the only thing I wish they'd added my at name on those buses. But it was definitely dope for seeing that visibility. Even when I had my own struggles and I'm driving and I see my face in the rear view, it kind of like did something to me like, yo, you gotta keep going. You gotta keep going. And it's something I always talked about in every caption after every photo shoot on being billboard. I want to be a billboard. And the being that I was on the bus, it was even bigger than what I expected because now it can rotate and can circulate throughout the whole city.
Yeah, man, that's deep, you know, because I remember us talking about that and you said, you know, one day you was going through a tough situation and you was driving, you know, you stopped and then you looked in the rear view and you saw your face on the bus. And I was like, man, I can't even imagine how that felt. Cause like you said, man, like you don't really see people on the bus. That's where we from. Like we grew up in Queens, like we grew up in the hood and it just took you from, you know, making the right connections and like, that's dope. So what was the hashtag? What, Spot KB?
Spot KB Challenge.
That's hard. That's hard, yo, for real. All right, and then what advice would you give someone who's listening and wants to be an entrepreneur in the fitness industry?
I would say the best bet is probably stay off of Instagram because Instagram will really deter you from, you know, shooting for it because you might think everybody's a trainer, it's oversaturated. I would say, you know, you use Instagram to utilize your clients and get your business, but don't be on there just following everybody and trying to measure yourself up to somebody who's been in the game 10, 15 years. And I would say, you know, start, you know, also educate yourself as well, but also get to know people more because it's a people business. So if you understand people, then you understand business. When you really connect with your consumer and also try to figure out the type of training that you want to do, because there's so many different forms of training, you know, there's resistance band training, there's yoga, there's dance fitness, there's pole fitness. It's so many different things. So you figure out your niche and then you create, you know, you find your avatar about people that you want to work with or that you enjoy doing. And then you also brand yourself, of course, and you're your own marketing tool.
So what would you say, what do you mean you find your avatar?
Yeah, find your avatar is basically finding your ideal target customer base. So okay. One of my biggest quotes that I love to live by, I learned from Simon Sinek. He's saying, you don't want to have 100 different customers. You want to have the same customer 100 times.
Wow.
So when you do that, you'll be able to get better and better at the same thing, you know, dealing with different people. So you want to keep your clientele to a niche so you can know them to be the best at that niche. Because if you go out to eat and you go to a foreign city and you look up, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food is baby back ribs. Yeah.
You got excited. you go the middle of nowhere, you go to, you know, I say Idaho, this first thing come to mind. If you type in Idaho, you're going to go to the 5-star restaurant that has baby back ribs.
Yep.
So it might be a burger spot that sell baby back ribs, but the burger spot is like 3 stars. Mm-hmm. You want to go to the best of the best at Baby Back Ribs because that's what you want.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with your business. Like, you want to be the best at your niche. So when people talk about, you know, sculpting and physique and, you know, women want to make a smaller waist and get bigger butt, they think of me. And I'm proud of that because I want to have that stamp on me because that's what I love to do. So I just tell people, try to create your own niche and be the best at your niche. Be the best of the best so people can come to you for that.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one of the things that I respect about, you know, you too is, you know, you really helped me gain some clarity in, like, my relationship and, like, a lot of things because, you know, for anyone listening, you know, KB and I, we both engaged and we both got our fiancés. Like, learning about entrepreneurship, man, it really taught me how to balance my personal, my professional, and everything. So, like, would you say entrepreneurship had an impact on that, or what are your thoughts on that?
Definitely a major impact. We might need a whole another episode to talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
To keep it short, I mean, me and my fiance, shout on top, shout A Rowe, she's an entrepreneur as well. So that helped a lot far as understanding that time is always immeasurable, you know, when you're doing a business, you're trying to create, you know, your own brand. Literally now, she started the shop. It's the time frame of knowing that when you do have time together, you make the most of it, you be fully engaged. So just as hard I go hard with my business, I go hard with my relationship as well. Because what's good of me being the best businessman in the world and my future wife doesn't think nothing of me, or my future kids don't think nothing of me. So it's always how you start at home, and then outside what matters next after that.
Yep. And that's what I really wanted you know, to touch on, because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs out there, they struggle with that balance of, like, I'm really good at being an entrepreneur, but I suck at being a husband, or I'm really good at being a husband and I suck at being an entrepreneur. And a lot of people, you know, I guess they try to find a balance, but I don't know if as an entrepreneur, like, what the perfect balance is. So I really like that. So my last thing for you, you know, is KB, you know, we creating a whole new word, man. You know, it's called entrepreneurhood. And our goal for each episode is to end with our wrap-up question. Obviously, we created the word, so we're a little bit biased on it. But, like, KB, so what does entrepreneurhood mean to you?
Entrepreneurhood. It means a community of entrepreneurs, of people that's willing to grow and share their experiences with each other. So I would say that it's people that's feel that they're different. They feel like they're the black sheep of their group of friends or their family, and they have these dreams, aspirations, but they might not know exactly how to, you know, connect all the dots. And through teamwork and companionship, they'll be able to achieve and reach their goals through the entrepreneurial spirit. Not all, but most people have it in them, but they just don't see anybody doing it. So the entrepreneurhood gives them guidance and clarity that it is attainable and they're not crazy. You know, and a lot of times people think you're crazy because you have these, you know, crazy ideas where you want to join different things together. So it's always about going above and beyond and helping the next person or the next generation. That's why I think entrepreneurhood is.
Yep. And I think each episode, we're going to try to have a consistent question where we ask all of our interviewers or interviewees, I should say, on what entrepreneurhood means to them. So last but not least, KB, like, where can our listeners, how can they connect with you?
They can connect with me on IG at KB the Trainer, Facebook KB the Trainer, Snapchat KB the Trainer, website kbthetrainer.com. Also, Feeding the City, We Feeding the City on IG. That's my nonprofit. And yeah, we could chop it up. If you try to talk business in any of these lanes, definitely let me know. If you chop it up, I'm always willing to help. I might take a little time to get back to you, but I'm always willing to help and respond and, you know, see other people grow as well in entrepreneurhood.
So you guys heard it here first. Chance to learn about our, you know, the host, KB the Trainer. Next episode is going to be KB the Trainer interviewing myself, Lay Kim James. And I'm going to give you guys my insight of how I got into sales and where we at right now. So I appreciate everyone getting a chance to tune in. Stay tuned. The next episode is going to be dope.
Anyone can start, but only champions finish. Now that you've completed this episode, you're ready to continue your journey by connecting directly with our hosts of Entrepreneurhood. Follow us on Instagram at The Entrepreneurhood to stay updated with the community. For each episode, the first set of listeners to tag us on Instagram and leave a 5-star review will be entered into a drawing to get a free 1-on-1 coaching session on the topic of entrepreneurship with our hosts. Remember, there is no shame in struggling, because we fail, we grow, and we win. Right here on Entrepreneurhood.